So, Roy, first of all, what are carbonates?
Carbonates are a type of rock formation which can have in it oil and gas. It's around the world. Most of the oil in the world is in carbonate formations. Alberta has a lot of carbonate formation. Most of the conventional oil and gas in Alberta is in carbonate formations. Of course, most of the oil in Alberta is in is bitumen, which is a very viscous fluid, and it's the type of oil which is being produced around Fort McMurray. About 25% of the bitumen in Alberta is in carbonate formation. The total amount of bitumen in Alberta is 270 billion cubic meters of oil. Only about 10% of that is estimated to be recoverable, and this is what they call the reserves. All of that recoverable oil comes from oil sand or sandstone type reservoirs. There is no proven recovery technology for bitumen in carbonates.
Ernie, where did carbonates come from?
Well, let me step back for a second. If you go on a holiday down the Yucatan Peninsula and lying on a nice sandy beach, that sandy beach is equivalent to the oil sands, without the oil, of course. And then you don your scuba tanks and go offshore to the Belize Reef, for example. That is the equivalent of the early carbonate formation. The carbonate rock, or the carbonates that we're looking at in Alberta, are reef structures and fossils, primarily made of calcium carbonate, hence the name carbonate. And they've been buried, and they form a very strong cohesive rock, where the oil sands we look at is essentially beach sands and river sands that are held together with oil.
So this goes all over Alberta?
The carbonate formations with heavy oil are principally in the north of the province, but carbonate rocks are throughout the province. The Alberta Basin, or the subsurface formations that we think of as containing oil in Alberta, they're combined of sandstones or sand formations of carbonate forces throughout the entire Alberta portion. As we move to the south, we have light oils and more natural gas, or closer to the mountains. As we move to the northeast, then we're into the heavy oils and into the bitumens. And it's the bitumen recovery that we're interested in.
So why is it so difficult to get the bitumen out of the carbonates?
First of all, it's the structure of the carbonates. The main matrix of carbonates is a very tight matrix, low permeability, and has bitumen in it, and of course bitumen is very heavy, does not flow without doing something to it, for example heating it. The other problem with carbonates is that because it's a solid rock, it's prone to fracturing from tectonic forces, and that fracturing can cause high permeability streaks into the formation, which are difficult to deal with. Also, carbonates can dissolve with water, so as a result of this fracturing, if there's water running through those fractures can get larger. So the problem with carbonates is you have a very very heterogeneous formation that contains a very heavy viscous bitumen.
So with the Alberta Research Council, you've now set up a research program to look at how you could eventually produce the bitumen from the carbonates. Why?
First of all, it's probably that there is a large target of oil there. I mentioned that there's 270 billion cubic meters of bitumen in Alberta. About 25% of that is in carbonates. There is no proven recovery technology to get that oil out. So there's a very large target. It's been known for a long time that there's bitumen exists in these carbonates, but the company's been focused on getting the oil out of the oil sands, presumably because it's a little easier to get the oil out. Knowing that there's this large target of oil in the carbonates, about 3 or 4 years ago, there was an effort by the Alberta Research Council and ARRI to have a look at what is in the carbonates, what has been done around the world to produce oil from carbonates. In the 1980s, there were some small pilots carried out in Alberta carbonates, and so we wanted to go back and look at those pilots. About that same time that we were doing that, there was interest by oil producers in Alberta to produce carbonates. There was some very large acquisition of carbonate fields bought out by Shell. There was some interest by Husky and some other smaller companies were looking at the carbonate formation. So 2 years ago, we decided that it was time to put together a research consortium to look at developing recovery processes to exploit the carbonates.
Roy, could you tell me how the program is set up?
So the program is called the Carbonate Research Program. It was initially started in October 1st, 2008. We're in our second year. It was initially set up to be a three-year program, so that in September, the end of September 2010, there will be a review of the program to see if it should be continued. The program at the moment has eight members. There's two government members, the Alberta Research Council and AIRI, and six major oil producers in Alberta. Each of these members have a fee that they pay yearly, and out of that that total funds, we then do research projects. And these research projects are done by what we call research providers. Currently, we have eight research providers doing projects in the program. The way it works is each year these research providers submit proposals into the program, and the paying members then do a vote as to which projects they want to go ahead based on what their needs are at the current time. The program is divided up into components. There's a geology component, a recovery processes component, a production engineering component, and a pilot support component. Right now, we're focused mainly on the geology component, but we're doing a little bit on recovery processes, looking at some of the recovery processes which are being used for oil sands, whether or not we can apply those to carbonates.
Well, when you think that it took, almost a century to get even oil sands production to the point where it's a marketable enterprise, it looks like you might have your work cut out for you in terms of these carbonates.
That's right. It's almost like starting at the beginning when we started looking at research on oil sands. It's the same sort of situation. We're starting off looking at what the carbonates, characterizing the carbonate reservoirs, trying to understand what they look like, and then getting an idea of what sort of recovery processes we could probably use on them.
Ernie, what is the research agenda?
Well, the research agenda is really focused around three or four major areas. First is the geology, or what we're calling the geology. And that is, we really have to know what the rock, in this case, the Grossmont Formation was what we're particularly looking at, really looks like under the ground. Is it one solid mass with very few holes going through it? Does it have, as Roy referred to earlier, fractures running to it that drain the area, large caverns? Or what is the structure? What controls the oil movement? How much oil is there? What's the water composition? All those things that are very important to developing a recovery strategy. The second point is really production or recovery strategies. What is effectively going to work? If you have a long fracture in the reservoir, well, oil and water will tend to flow on that as opposed to coming from the matrix. So you have to develop how you recover oil, knowing what the geology is like, but then designing the methodologies you use. You just can't go blindly into this situation. And that's one of the big lessons that I think everybody has learned from in-situ oil sands recovery. The third, of course, relates to surface facilities and the infrastructure you need to be able to support and run these things effectively. What works in these environments? How can we minimize the footprint in the land, minimize any environmental issues?
The oil sands are very high up, and you can surface mine them. Are these bitumens that are in the carbonate structures, are they very deep?
Relatively speaking, they're not very deep, but they're below any means of surface mining. So they'll start maybe 400 meters down in the earth and potentially go down to a kilometer down. So they're too deep to be mined by conventional techniques. They're in the sort of zones where you have to go in with so-called in-situ technologies, putting something down there to mobilize this very heavy, thick, non-flowing oil.
Any ideas at this time as to what direction the research will take? Are you going to be able to suck that oil out of the ground?
Certainly, what we're looking at, first of all, is the type of recovery processes which are currently being used for oil sands. It is a bitumen. It doesn't flow naturally. You have to heat it or do something to it to make it flow. So initially, we're looking at, can we apply the same sort of processes which we're using in oil sand to carbonates? So that would be the first thing we're looking at. Of course, we also have some novel ideas that we'll also be looking at.
One of the points I'd just like to emphasize is in this province, we've had a long history looking at in situ recovery technologies. There's been many research programs that are leading now to very successful recovery technologies. A lot of that information is transferable. And a lot of it is we've known how to attack the problem from that. So we are in better shape than we were perhaps when the people were looking at cyclic steam and steam drive and other technologies in the 70s. We have all that learning to build upon it, all that research, which really puts us in a much better position.
So have you actually found out anything yet?
Some interesting things about geology. We're doing the geology really on two scales, a local scale, looking at some of the past pilots which were done in the 80s, looking at some of the cores which they got from those pilots, and trying to characterize the reservoir around those pilots. But we're also doing a regional study, looking to see if there's any trends to the geology across a larger area. And some interesting information has come out looking at type of trends and whatnot.
Like what?
One of the things that's interesting about carbonates is that once they've been fractured and once you have water flowing through those fractures, the carbonate rock can dissolve and it can make large cavities, which can be called karsts. And then quite often what happens with those karsts is that you have material from the above the carbonates which can collapse into those karsts. So they've been doing some surveys and looking at how those karsts are distributed, and it does look like there is a fairly even distribution of karsts throughout the carbonate, throughout the Grossmont formation that we've been looking at.
This Grossmont formation, how big is it compared to what you might find in the rest of the world?
It is certainly the biggest single reservoir of bitumen or heavy oil in carbonate rocks. It's literally a factor of 10 to a factor of 50 bigger than the next biggest reservoir in the world. So it's a very large reservoir. It spans quite a big distance, situated more or less between the Peace River area and McMurray, sort of in the middle. And it's really one that we have not developed the knowledge yet, because there hasn't been the drive or the push to work on such a difficult reservoir.
Now, you can't talk about any sort of fossil fuel development without also tying it into concerns about the environment. What kinds of things are you looking at there?
The environment is a major issue. The first thing that we have, of course, is we are doing this in situ. So we do not have the same sort of impact that you would have in surface mining, because we're leaving the solids and a lot of the fluids in the subsurface. And our target is just to bring up oil and associated condensed water or steam. The second is the design of the operations is for a smaller footprint to minimize the impact. I think everybody in the industry agrees, and we all certainly do as researchers, that we'd like to have the minimal impact on the environment. The less impact you have, essentially the more efficiently you're running your operation. So it has both a stewardship function as well as an economic impact.
Roy, what do you find exciting, or what do you see as being the potential for this research?
Well, I find it exciting because we're really starting off at the beginning of this. It's very similar to the beginning of the oil sands. We're really starting off at looking at carbonates right from the beginning. Whether or not there's potential is really depends on the economics, of course, whether or not the type of recovery processes which we find can be used in carbonates, whether or not they become economical. So that's going to be a challenge.
And Ernie, what do you find exciting about this?
Well, first, as Roy does, it's a tremendous challenge. We're in the start developing something new that really hasn't been done before. But the second part that's very exciting, especially for us as researchers, is we're not doing this in a standalone. We're not just one or two people in an office or a laboratory working. There's a very large grouping on this, great number of specialists. So we have geophysicists talking to geologists, even talking to geochemists, which is sometimes very unusual, as well as talking to production engineers. The focus is on solving the problem, not focusing on some very small detail that may or may not be relevant. So we all have a very clear goal, but it's a very broad team with a great deal of background information and different perspectives. New ideas are always fun.
Thank you very much, Ernie.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Roy.
Okay, thank you.